Now follow me carefully. Our Lord was facing Calvary in the scriptures that Brother Colston led us in reading a while ago. For a moment, and again, don't hold me to this, but for a moment it seems like some knowledge was withdrawn from him. He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Now it was he who had said, except a corn of wheat falleth on the ground and dieth, it abideth alone. He is talking about his own body. It was he who had said, "You destroy this temple and I'll raise it again after 3 days." He was talking about his body. It was said of our Savior that he had set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. I have no doubt but that Jesus had always known he was going to go to the cross. He said, "I come to do thy will, O God." He knew the Old Testament. When he sat in the synagogue in Nazareth, he knew what they were talking about. When they talked the Old Testament and talked about the coming Messiah, he knew he was that Messiah. He knew that he was the one who must live and die and rise again. And yet, for just a few moments here in Gethsemane, he seems to have some knowledge withdrawn from him. Because all of a sudden it seems like maybe he doesn't really want to go to the cross after all. Now, he seems not to know. Now, listen carefully. When he went to the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, Moses and Elijah came and they talked about his coming death. He knew he had to die. But now for a moment it looks like he may have had that knowledge withdrawn from him. And that's what happens to us. You know, occasionally we forget God's promises. Occasionally we forget, we have some troubles, and we forget what Romans 8:28 says. And basically, that's what church is all about. You're supposed to come here a few times a week and let some man stand up here and remind you of what you already know. But you forgot. You face a burden. You faced a heartache. And you forgot. "My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." That's what I'm here for. I'm not here to present something to you you don't know about. I'm here to remind you what you already know. And it's so easy for us when the battle comes and the shadows come and the clouds come and the burdens and heartaches come, it's so easy for us to forget. So I stand up here for Sunday and say, ladies and gentlemen, Romans 8:28 still says, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose." I come every Sunday morning, and you already knew it, but you forgot it. And reminds you what Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I come here to remind you what you already knew. The Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It's my job to stand up here and remind you that Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." I love that stanza. I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, it's just going to be the old, old story that we've loved so long. And that's what I'm here for. I'm here for the repetition of the obvious and to remind you of things that in the busy activities and battles and problems and burdens of life that you seem to have forgotten. And so I'm encouraged that our Lord seemed to have forgotten there for a moment the purpose of His coming. He knew He came to die. He knew Calvary was in His future. He knew He had to. Why, He had given Himself before the foundation of the world to go to Calvary. But now all of a sudden, He seems to shrink back a little bit, just as we shrink back a little bit. And He seems for a while to have some knowledge withdrawn from Him, just like we sometimes forget the promises that God has given us in the heat of the battle. You know, it's so much easier to remember those promises when there's no battle going on. But I mean, when the burdens are here and they're shooting at you and this illness has come and somebody dies, it's so easy for us to forget what we, are you listening to me now? What we already knew. Let me tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, they're still true. All the promises are still true. Everything that God said He would do, He will do. Everything that God has ever done, He can do again. And that's my job, to stand up here and tell you that remind you of what you already know. But then he learned something. Now don't miss this statement. What must be endured can be endured. Put that for a motto. Don't forget it. What must be endured can be endured. Calvary is right before him. He shrinks back and said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But and yet he faced again when he said, not my will, but thine be done. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you say, preacher, I can't take any more. Oh, yes, you can. What must be endured can be endured. But you say, preacher, I've got something ahead of me. I don't think I can take it. I can't face it. Oh, yes, you can. What must be endured can be endured. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there's no temptation or testing taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. I said, He will not give you any testing, any burden that you cannot bear. What must be endured can be endured. Now, look at me. Carefully follow me. I'm coming to the main crux of the sermon. Are you marching towards something that is inevitable? Jesus was. Is there something before you that if you keep going, it's inevitable, it's going to happen? Then I want to say you can endure it. So march towards it and keep on doing God's will. Face the storm. Don't run from the storm. That just prolongs it. That thing that is inevitable. There's some things in my life I'm marching toward. I know that. I know some things that are going to happen. I know that. I know some enemies that have prepared some things to try to destroy me. I know that. I'm aware of it. But I want to remind myself this morning, what must be endured can be endured. And whatever God's will is for me, He will give me the strength. And there will no testing come me, but what He will give me the strength to bear it. And no testing comes your way. What if something is in front of you, and you dread to face it, and you know you got to face it, then. But God will not allow you to be tested above that you're able. I said, God will not allow you to suffer above that you're able. I said, God will not give you a burden above that you're able to bear. I said, God will not give you a heartache that you cannot bear. Now, you may not bear it. You may bend beneath the load, but bless God, you don't have to bend beneath the load. Because everything that is necessary to help you face the cloud, face the shadow, face the heartache, face the darkness, face the battle, is available. You may not make it, you may not make what's available appropriate to yourself, but bless God, you don't have to crumble, you don't have to turn back, you don't have to give up, you don't have to quit, you can go right on, because what must be endured can be endured. Say it. What must be endured can be endured. Say it. What must be endured can be endured. Say it. What must be endured can be endured. That's just another way of saying there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that you're able. Now, hear me carefully. The goal of our Savior was to get to the Father. Let me have this microphone. P-A-M-N. P-A-M-N. I need this microphone right here, please. I'm going to let this right here, this part right here, represent Calvary. And by the way, over there is a restoration of fellowship with the Father. Don't miss me now. Here's Jesus. He comes to Gethsemane. He's agonizing so much, even his perspiration is like great drops of blood flowing from his brow. And Jesus says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup right here pass from me. But now, wait a minute. This cup was the only way to get to the Father. No other way. He could not go back to the Father
and refuse to do the purpose of His coming to earth. So, either He stays over here and does not get back to the Father, or He goes through Calvary and the sufferings accompanying Calvary in order to get back to the Father. So He says, Father, if it be possible, let this cup right here pass from me, if it be possible. But knowing that it was not possible for Him to go where He wanted to go. See, the Bible said, in Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy that was set before Him. Now what? Hey, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Everybody wake up. Slap yourself good and hard. You're in church this morning. Good night. If I can prepare and pray and beg God to help me preach to you, you can sit out there and be awake while I'm preaching. Now, here was the joy set before Him. What was that joy? The Father. Sitting down at the right hand of the Father. That was His joy. But He cannot have joy without going through Calvary. No way. Now, He can have happiness on this side of Calvary, but He can't have joy on this side of Calvary. Because the only way you have joy is pass through the storm. Happiness is playing on this side of the storm. Happiness is going to Six Flags on this side of the storm. Happiness is going to the Cubs game, the White Sox game on this side of the storm. Happiness is picnicking on this side of the storm. That's happiness. But joy, real joy, is over here. And nobody has ever had joy who doesn't first pass through the storm. There is no joy for Jesus. None. Unless He gets across, unless He goes through Calvary. The only chance that Jesus had for joy was for Him to be beaten by the cat of nine tails. The only chance He had for joy was for Him to be crucified between two thieves. The only joy that Jesus could have must follow His dipping His own soul into the torments of hell and paying the penalty for all of us. There's no joy without suffering. You know what I said? There's no joy without suffering. Now there is happiness without suffering. Because happiness is over here. Hoop, hip, hip, hot dog, hooray, give me some more ice cream, and let's have a picnic, and let's go to the ball game, and let's go to the amusement park, and let's have a lot of fun, and let's play golf, and let's play tennis. I'm not against any of these things, but that's happiness. But brother, you don't get joy till you've been through the storm. Joy is only after you have endured your heartache, endured your sorrow, because in the sorrow, you find out there is a living God. And that brings joy. In your sorrow, you find out that our God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. And that brings joy. Now the trouble is, most of us don't want joy. We want happiness. We want to have fun. We want to pray. But Jesus said, Father, I don't want right now to go through the cross. I know what's going to happen. I know I've got to be separated from You. But for the joy that was set before Him. But now, wait a minute. He said, for that joy, what did He do? He endured the cross. Nobody here wants to suffer. Nobody here says, hot dog, got a battle coming. Nobody here says, hey, guess what? The doctor found out I got cancer. Nobody says that. Nobody. But you listen to me carefully. You've got to endure before you can get joy. No joy without enduring. No joy without a cross. Because of the joy that was set before Him over there. Listen to me. The joy that was set before Him over there. That's why He endured the cross. He wanted to get home with the Father with whom He had fellowship for eternity. But there's something between the throne of the Father and His sitting down there at the right hand of the Father. There's something between Him and Gethsemane and the joy of being with the Father. And that's the cross. And there's something between you and your joy. And that something is you are going to have to pay the price. And nobody ever had joy who didn't suffer.
God, I just had some trouble.
Well, joy's on the way if you want it. Quit your griping. Look to the Jesus. He said the joy set before Him. He endured the cross. Wait a minute. He despised the shame. He who never sinned was chosen to die over a robber, a common criminal, Barabbas. He, who was the perfect Lamb of God, was placed between two thieves and made a common criminal. He, who never said an evil word, never walked a wicked path, never possessed an evil thought, never took something he shouldn't have taken, never said something he shouldn't have said, never heard something he shouldn't have listened to, never had a motive that was wrong. He was rejected, even by his 12 disciples, and I'll tell you tonight, even by his 12 disciples. He didn't enjoy being reproached. He didn't enjoy being enduring the shame. He didn't enjoy it. But bless God, on the other side of that shame is the face of the Father. And so he sat, knelt there in the Garden of Gethsemane, neath the stars of the night, with the Savior light, in a garden of dew-laden breeze. Not my will, but thine be done, cried the Father's own Son, as he knelt neath the old olive trees. And he said, oh my God, I've got the joy set before me. Isn't there some way to get to the joy set before me without going through the cross? Do I have to be considered an immoral man? Do I have to be thought of as being a wicked man? Do I have to bear the shame of being the worst sinner in the whole world? Do I have to bear the nails and spikes in my hands and feet? Do I have to bear the burden of Calvary? Do I have to see you turn your back on me and cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is there some way to go around the cross? No, there's not, Jesus. If you go to the Father, you'll go by the way of the cross. And if you get that joy that is set before you, now I want to tell you something. This is the play generation. This is the generation when adults act like kids. There was a day when the kids babysat. There was a day when the children took care of the baby, so mom and dad took care of the baby so the kids could go out. Now the kids take care of the baby so mom and daddy can go out. This generation ought to learn what the apostle meant when he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. This is the vacation generation. This is the days off generation. This is the morning and afternoon break generation. This is the amusement park generation. This is the ball game generation. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Not one single person has ever known joy who did not pass through the storm. Because happiness is playing on this side of the storm, but joy is passing through the storm and finding out that every promise of this blessed book is true. And I'll guarantee you, you can find a lot of little Guinness Christians who are happy, who've never had any burdens, never had any battles, never had any problems, never had any heartaches. But I'll guarantee you, those Christians that know the real joy of God learned it by passing through the storm. Joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, despised the shame, but he sat down to the right hand of the Father. Here's a little mother, or a wife. Now she wants to have a baby. But there's no way to get over there to the joy of that delivery room. No way to get over there to the joy of that nursery and feel those little toes and that little cheek. There's no way except you go through travail. Now you can play over here, have a lot of fun. But if you're going to have the joy of having your own child, you're going to have to go through the travail. My little mother. I never knew a person had more joy than my mama had. But my little mother, she didn't know what play was. Her first baby was afflicted, never walked or talked, never said mama. For 7 years lay silent in the bed, just made some noises. At the age of 7, she died. Was buried in a little cemetery out north of Italy, Texas. Second child came. She lived to be 7. She had the measles. She died. She was buried beside the first child in the cemetery. Mama never went to the amusement park. Mama never had a television set. Mama never heard of Johnny Carson. You'd be better off if you'd never heard of him too, by the way. But Mama never heard of Johnny Carson. Mama never rode the loop-de-loop or the round-de-round of the up and the down. Mama never rode anything like that. Mama didn't know who Babe Ruth. Mom thought Babe Ruth was a candy bar she couldn't afford. Mama didn't know. She didn't know anything about big league baseball. Mama didn't know anything about parties. Mama never heard the word vacation. You don't have a vacation for a child that's afflicted. You haven't gotten a vacation from that. My little mama gave birth to one child, and she was afflicted and died at 7. She gave birth to the second child, and she died when she was 7. And then the depression came, and mom and dad lost the little store that they operated in a little town called Italy, Texas. They lost everything they had. Daddy turned to liquor. Finally, he would come and go in our house and didn't support the family. And my mother, for years, had to work behind the steam table of a public school lunchroom, try to keep some food in the mouth of her son. My mama knew no happiness, but bless God, she knew joy. Now, I want to tell you something. Quit running from troubles. Quit whining about your burdens. Call off your stupid pity parties. Thank God for your burdens. Thank God. Rejoice and be exceeding glad. That's the way you get to joy. You can get to happiness cheap. You can get to happiness easy. I'm talking to a man, his two daughters sitting down this morning, buried his wife and their mother just a few months ago. I'll guarantee you they got more joy than all you partying folks have. You know why? They found out that book is true. They found out there's a Savior who lives. They found out that Romans 8:28 is true. They found out that He will strengthen you. They know it's true. And bless God, you don't have any joy till you find out the book is true. You go through the heartaches. You go through the burdens. You toss and tumble through the night. Wonder how you can face tomorrow. Wake up in the morning and wish it weren't. You wish you couldn't then to get up out of bed. Hoping it isn't true. Hoping it was all a dream. You dreamed about it. You wake up to find it's not a dream. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, do what Jesus did. Go right on to Calvary. There's the joy over there. There's real joy. If you want joy, real joy, then you go through the cross, through the storm, through the shadow, through the heartache, through the burden. And bless God, on the other side, there's the Savior standing. And that's what real joy is all about. Oh, God, give us some Christians today. We got a bunch of praying Christians. A deacon came to me several years ago. He said, Brother Howes, I'm going to join another church. He said, You don't have enough social life for me here. Well, then trot your little backslidden carcass off. Tell you what we do have. We've got a Savior who can see us through heartaches and burdens. I'm not against having fun. I'm against living to have fun. I'm against not doing what I'm supposed to do because I'm afraid to do it. Bless God, let the storms come. I don't like them. Jesus didn't. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. He hated to go to Calvary. But there was joy set before Him. Right on the other side of that valley of the cross was the Father. Friday night, I preached in West Virginia. I found out that a couple of preachers were going to take their crowd away because they wouldn't hear Brother Hiles. Listen to me now. Listen to me. You need feeding like everybody else needs. You need this sermon like everybody else needs it. I found out that two of our Hiles Anderson College graduates would not even come to hear their former president, Chancellor, but took their people home on Friday morning, were going to. Only one did. One decided to stay. The young man for whom I have sacrificed to put that college out there wouldn't even bring his own people to hear Dr. House preach. I didn't want to go. I wanted to stay on this side of the storm and play. But I went. That night, 15 preachers sat on the platform. And I looked up and down that platform. And 14 of them were graduates of Hiles Anderson College. And I had a spell. That's what I'm talking about. Through the storm came the joy. I didn't want to walk up to that platform that night. And I got to thinking, you crazy fool.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about them.
But I said to myself, you crazy fool. You got 14 of your graduates right here on this platform. Any one of them would fight and most of them would die for you. And here you are pouting because one of them forsook you. Let me tell you something. Everybody forsook our Savior but a few women. His own disciples forsook him. And they didn't forsake him because they didn't like him. They forsook him because they thought he was guilty of crookedness. And then I stood up there on the platform and looked at those 14 as David Crutchfield over there. Sam Wooldridge over here. Evangelist Randy Taylor sitting beside me. And 11 others graduated from Howells Anderson College. That's joy. Listen, I don't mind. Yes, I do. I don't want to go through the valley. But I don't mind going through the valley of being forsaken by one or two in a meeting like that to get to the other side of that valley and find 14 others on the other side. That's what joy is. Look, joy is always accompanied by hurt. I told you this. When the big battle started May of 1989, I was to speak in May for my 12th consecutive time at the National ACE Convention. Every time it has thousands of people. Meets in a big coliseum. Usually a coliseum seats 8,000, 10,000 people. I was scheduled to speak in a few weeks, but because of the battle, I called Dr. Howard, head of ACE, and I said, Dr. Howard, I'm canceling out. He said, I don't want you to cancel out. I said, no, you don't. If you did, I wouldn't. But I know you don't want me to, but I don't want to cause you any trouble. I'm controversial right now. I'll divide the crowd. I don't want to hurt that meeting. No way. He said, Dr. Howes, I want you to come. I said, but I love you too much to come. I'm not going to come this year. And Dr. Howard said, would you come next year? And I said, yes, I will. He stood up at the meeting last year, thousands of delegates, and said, folks, Dr. Howes is not coming because he loves me. But he's promised he'll be here next year. And they rose and gave me a standing ovation, even though I was not there. The year passed, and last 2 months ago, I was to speak. I dreaded it. Oh, I dreaded it. Dr. Evans went with me. We had to work some together and went with me. And he sat beside me and I said, Doc, I've never been so nervous and scared in my life. I stood to speak. On the other side of the storm, I preached. And I forgot who I was, where I was, if I had any problems or not. And I preached. About 5,000 young people that night. I'll guarantee you when the invitation was given, over one half of them surrendered their life to full-time Christian service. And I went back rejoicing in the Lord because of His goodness. That's what you call joy. That's what you call joy. You're facing the burden this morning. Jesus didn't want to face it either. He endured it. That's all. He endured it. He despised the shame. But there was something on the other side of that shame He wanted to get to. And that shame was only a plank in a bridge to get to what the joy that he wanted. The joy that was set before him. Enduring the cross was only a plank in a bridge to get him where he wanted. He wanted to get with the Father. And now for 2,000 blessed years, he's been with the Father. You won't matter 2,000 years from now, or 200 years from now, or 75 years from now. It won't matter how many burdens you had on him. Because you'll be with the Father if you're saved. That's what joy is. Happiness is playing on this side of the sorrow. Joy is rejoicing on the other side of the sorrow. You have your burdens. They're as big as mine. You have your sorrows. They're as big as mine. You have your battles. To you, they're as big as mine. Don't run from them. You say, well, Brother Howes, is it wrong me not to want to go through them? Not wrong. Jesus didn't want to. Is it wrong for me to hate every minute of the battle? No, it's not wrong. Jesus despised the shame he had to face. That's what joy is. You don't want the battle, do you? You don't want the consequences of giving all to God. I wasn't surprised when Mike Haynes called me and told me that he had two assistant pastors. One of his assistant pastors had run off with the 15-year-old pianist in the church. I wasn't surprised. I wasn't surprised when he called me and said the other pastor had turned his assistant pastor had turned his back on him, had written a dirty letter to all of the members of the church trying to accuse Mike Haynes of a bunch of dirty things he never did. I wasn't surprised. I knew that Mike Haynes was getting too many people saved for the devil to overlook him. I wasn't surprised. You're facing the battle? Go right towards it. Nothing wrong with stopping and saying, I dread it. Nothing wrong with saying, I despise it. Nothing wrong with that. But on the other side of the cross is where the joy is. On this side is where the happen.
Now I want to ask you a question.
Where are you today? Huh? You come up, some burdens in life, and you want to stay over here and play. Rah, rah, rah. Hooray for team. Whoopee. Play. Where's Ed Lapina? He's not here this morning. You want to play. That's happiness. The word happiness comes from happen. It just happens. Fun. Eat. Drink. Be merry. But if you want joy, you face life's realities. You keep on doing the will of God, and over there is what you want. You want joy. Real joy. Not synthetic joy, which is what happiness really is. You want real joy. But you come and find yourself looking over to the joy you want, the joy that is set before you. You look down and see the river you've got to swim, and the raging torrents you've got to endure, and the storm that's coming over that river, and the enemies that are there trying to destroy you as you seek joy. What should you do? Do what Jesus did. Stop and say, I dread that. I don't want to face that. But I can endure what I must endure. And what I must endure, I can endure. And so you endure it, just like I did Friday night. You endure it. And you walk over the storm, and you dread it, and you cry, and you're hurt. You get to the other side. You see 14 of your preacher boys on the platform, and the hand of God on your shoulder, and the presence of Jesus who's with you. It's not as exciting as the happiness over there. Not many bright lights over here where joy is. But it's exactly what every one of you are looking for. But you will not get it unless you come through the valley. If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in His Word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there, and He'll give you joy, real joy. Not counterfeit joy of happiness, but the real joy of having gone through the storm to the other side. Shall we pray?